But what about trying to, you mentioned forming a distance to lessen the pressure.
Say it again.
You mentioned just then about forming a distance to try and lessen the pressure. So you surround yourself with spiritual stuff to lessen that pressure. What about if it's either a child that's in school, so it's in a classroom, for example, and they can't just remove themselves from the classroom? Maybe they don't have to be friends with those people that are doing that.
You're talking about when you have bullying situations.
Not so much that, not so much a bully, or a pressure to do something.
Yes.
You say remove yourself, distance yourself, but it might be you're not able to. So another example maybe is at work, even as not necessarily children, even as adults, you might be in your workplace.
Happens all the time.
Right next to you.
Yep.
And they're saying things that maybe against your faith, and you want to defend them, but in defense will lead to maybe a sin or something like that. Like I'm saying, coming back to you mentioning about distance, sometimes it's harder to achieve than.
It is harder.
But what do you do?
But yes, there are everyday occasions that people at work, they find themselves in a very uncomfortable situation. I will give you an example. Like all the colleagues, they go to drink after like Friday when they finish work. I don't know if they do it here, but in Perth, some companies, they do it. And this Christian guy says, I don't want to go and drink and talk about things that they will make my conscience unclean. And he's right. So there, the way that others respect you, if you're a Muslim and you do your prostrations during the day, they have to respect you if you say, sorry, but after work, my wife is waiting, and I can't. I promised I have to go every Friday because she needs me there. You find an excuse. You find a way out. It's not easy every time, but there is no occasion that nothing can be done. If nothing can be done, it means that you're in the wrong place. So, for example, if your family associates with other young families, they have young children, your kids, straight away, they have Christian friends. That's extremely important because they have people to associate with. So you create within this parish, within your circle, you create the environment for a healthy environment for your kids to grow. And then if the school is not valuing the Christian values, you change the school. And if some of his friends are in another school and they're not far, you do that, you get them there. So there are ways out, but every problem has to be discussed individually, and you find a solution with your spiritual father and after prayer. And it's not always easy, but usually there is a way out. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given us this challenge. And the way out could be for us to grow or for us to move, or for us to change things around us.
I mean, you mentioned quite a lot the notion of a spiritual father. For some people, it's, you know, in some churches or for some people today, this is, you know, in monastic society, obviously, it's a normal thing. It's very important. but in the modern, I would say, mainstream churches, it's sometimes not understood and not valued or not maybe understood. So maybe if you could touch upon that, the importance of having one to one's salvation and the relationship. You did say quite a lot, but you know, just to sort of emphasize a little bit and that relationship there, you know, how it is for one's salvation. Why does one need one?
Yes. So, if you want to be healthy, you need to find your physician. If you want to win the Olympic Games, you need a trainer to train you for a long time and intensively. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need help from someone who knows about it, someone who God has put as his representative on earth. So the spiritual father is not just an idea. It's not just us trying to find someone to help us. There is a sacrament there, and this is the authority that Jesus has passed on to his apostles, and the apostles to the bishops, and the bishops to the other bishops, and then it comes down to the spiritual fathers, and this is the authority to forgive sins. So, we have situations that people were not even Christian, and they became saints. How? By giving their blood for Christ at the last minute. But we don't always have this opportunity, and even if we do, it doesn't mean that I will let someone kill me to become a saint. I will defend myself, and etc. So it's not exactly the easiest way out. But the safest way out for our salvation is after our baptism, which forgives all the sins, to have a spiritual father. And I'm not saying not to go for confession if we get baptized as adults before the baptism. But what I'm saying is that after the baptism, we can't have another baptism that will forgive everything. So we need a spiritual father, and through the confession, our sins are getting forgiven. And it's so essential as Holy Communion. So without these two, we don't have sacramental life. And without sacramental life, there is no life of prayer, because these are what helps us to cleanse our soul and to get closer to God. And without this and without prayer, we're basically on our own hands. And our own hands can lead us far away from God instead of getting us close to God. I don't know if this covers anything further. But trust me, we all need a spiritual father. And even our archbishop has one. So that's how it is. Anything else? We said a lot. One time in a Muslim country, there was this Christian lady, and she got into a bus, and the Muslim went closer to her very aggressively and told her what's the greatest thing about your faith. She was very angry, and she couldn't see. She was afraid for her life, so she was speechless. He repeated, "What's the greatest thing about your faith?" She didn't say anything, but he kept repeating, "What's the greatest thing about your faith?" And she said, "I don't know." And this Muslim guy told her, "Is that we're fighting you for so many years and we can't destroy you. So nothing can beat the church. The church has the Holy Spirit. Nothing can beat God. Nothing can beat the Holy Spirit. Nothing can beat us. If they kill us, they make us saints. They killed Jesus and they gave the resurrection to everyone. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense for them, but this is what happened. So our worst enemy for the Christianity individually is ourself. And if we were to take it a step further, the fathers of the church, they say that the biggest weapon of the devil is despair. Because Peter denied Christ 3 times, and he ended up in heaven. He was an apostle. But Judas denied him and betrayed him once. But because he despaired, he lost his soul. So don't worry about Christianity. Nothing can touch our church, regardless what happens in the world. But worry about our own salvation, every one of us. And for our own soul, the worst thing that could ever happen to us is to despair. And this is another subject, but despair, if we despair, it's like a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's like we say to God that my sins are greater than your blood, than your sacrifice. This is a very proud thing, and it's something that cannot be forgiven because we don't want Christ to forgive us. Because if we were, we would repent. We just want to have this idea that our sins are greater than his mercy, but it's not. There is nothing that cannot be forgiven.